Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
May the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Greetings to those who are with us at home. It's always great to have you worship God with us. I want to especially acknowledge our school students who are here. They were greeting you as they came in. They'll be bringing up the gifts. They're here doing these things because this week is
Catholic Schools Week.
You don't even need me. Catholic Schools Week, and we're proud of our school, we're proud of our students, and they're very grateful for all the support that the parish gives. Now, ask God for grace. Put aside whatever distractions you might have brought with you so that we might give God our full attention. We might receive from him all he has for us. Now ask God for help in examining your conscience so that you might see your sins truly and turn to the only one who can save you.
Lord Jesus, you raise us to new life. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you forgive us our sins. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you feed us with your body and blood. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to life everlasting.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord, our God, help us to love you with all our hearts and to love all men as you love them. Grant this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
A reading from the book of the prophet Zephaniah. Seek the Lord, all you humble of the earth who have observed his law. Seek justice. Seek humility. Perhaps you may be sheltered on the day of the Lord's anger. But I will leave you as a remnant in your midst, a people humble and lowly, who shall take refuge in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel. They shall do no wrong and speak no lies, nor shall there be found in their mouths a deceitful tongue. They shall pasture and couch their flocks with none to disturb them. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Consider your own calling, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. Rather, God chose the foolish of the world to shame the wise, and God chose the weak of the world to shame the strong. And God chose the lowly and despised of the world, those who count for nothing, to reduce to nothing those who are something, so that no human being might boast before God. It is due to him that you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, as well as righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, so that, as it is written, whoever boasts should boast in the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Alleluia. Sent me to bring good news to the poor. Alleluia. 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 Alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he had sat down, his disciples came to him. He began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I was praying the other day. That's not quite right. I was trying to pray the other day. Actually, it's best to say I was distracted while I was trying to pray the other day. My thoughts went something like this as I looked out the window. Would I rather be in Michigan or would I rather be in Hawaii? Not that anybody here has had a thought like that recently. Beautiful beaches, constant sunshine, warm sea breezes. Lush tropical flowers, waterfalls and mountains, or snow, slush, cold gray, and I hope I don't put my car in the ditch. That's a tough choice, isn't it? Michigan, Hawaii. Think about this yourself. Where would you rather be? Location, in your personal health, in finances, in relationships. Would you rather be somewhere else or would you rather be where you are? You know what my answer was? And this is not what I was feeling. This is just what I knew to be true. I would rather be where God wants me to be. That's the best place. What I desire, what you desire more than anything else, is God Himself. That's who we came from. That's who we are destined to return to and be forever with. This is momentary. This is a preparation. This is a getting ready for something much greater. God Himself is the source of all beauty, all truth, all happiness, all joy. Doesn't that sound right? It's God himself. When I desire good things, these things have no value. They're not found in God. People who seek happiness only in the things of this world, apart from God, they're chasing leprechauns. They'll sooner find a unicorn. And God is most fully experienced when we embrace his will for our lives. Jesus himself said, I only do what I see the Father doing. I only say what the Father gives me to say. That's where we'll most experience what we most desire. Just because we want to be where God wants us to be doesn't mean we experience all he wants us to experience. Just because I'm living in Michigan, I don't automatically experience God in the deepest way that I can here. We can be in the land of our dreams and still be miserable. So how do we experience what we want most, even in the circumstances we may desire on other terms to avoid? I believe that I can experience what I most desire, God, in circumstances I don't prefer, infinitely better than I can seeking the circumstances I might prefer apart from God, even if they do need priests in Hawaii. But that's not automatically the case. It doesn't automatically happen. We have to work at it. So here's the question. How is it possible for you to be the most happy right where you are right now? More so than in the most perfect circumstances you could imagine. It's precisely what I think Jesus is talking to us about in the gospel today. Sean, can we lower the screens? These are familiar words. The Beatitudes are some of the most famous and most important teachings of Jesus. Ironically, in light of their fame and importance, I think they're profoundly misunderstood and largely ignored. But they are a heavenly manifesto on being happy. That's what beatitude is, from the Latin word for supreme blessedness. How's that sound? Would you take a double dose of supreme blessedness? Supreme blessedness or happiness? That's what Jesus is talking about. If that's what you want, this is what you do. It's not the superficial modern idea of happiness that often means to feel good or to have fun, but this means the joy of heaven, union with God, gazing on his beauty, bearing the weight of true glory. Himself. So Jesus goes up the mountain. Who else went up the mountain?
Moses
went up the mountain. Remember, the folks were down at the bottom of the hill and the golden calf. And Moses went up the mountain. This is very clearly Jesus being the new Moses. Jesus goes up the mountain. Jesus is the new Moses giving a new law. He's the great prophet that Moses predicted, and he starts out his teaching, his first discourse in Matthew, the blueprint for the kingdom of God, a contradiction to human wisdom, the way that we'll find blessedness in the circumstances in which we're in.
Thank you.
think we have a disadvantage sometimes in keeping fresh before us words that can become so familiar. How many times have you heard the words of Jesus in the Beatitudes? And we can kind of tune them out or say, well, that's churchy talk. It really has everything to do with how we live and how we experience life. This is just a fresh presentation. It's presented in a different way. Maybe it can hit us from a different angle. I like this presentation because it made an attempt to contrast attitudes that we hear all the time in others or in ourselves. Often they're presented as being profound or powerful, contrasting these with what Jesus actually says, which really is profound and powerful. The first statement was, Lord, I don't want to rely on anyone for anything. I want to thus be strong, independent, and resourceful. Hey, that sounds good, doesn't it? Who wants to be strong, independent, and resourceful? Yes, there's a good way to be that, but not in our relationship with God, which is vulnerable and dependent, poor in spirit. How many times do we feel or say or hear, I just want to have a good time. I don't want to hurt anybody. I just don't want to miss anything. There's more to life than that. Blessed are those who mourn, who are brokenhearted about the suffering in the world, who identify with it. I just want it done my way. Any of us got in trouble for pursuing that? Blessed are the meek. So I always say, meek doesn't mean weak. Strength. To serve, strength under control. It's the opposite of being a bully, just tyrannizing everybody with your own will. It's being under God's control, not doing it your way, but God's way. What do we hunger and thirst for? Where do we spend our energy? In blaming others or in making excuses? We're doing the good that we can do. We can't control others. Although we try, don't we? We can't. We can control ourselves and do the good that we can do. We want them to get what they deserve. That's justice, right? You don't want justice. You want mercy. Blessed are the merciful. Lord, don't give them what they deserve. Give them what they need. Just repentance in your grace. I know it's probably not right, but I don't see how my private, personal sin is hurting anyone else. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God, those who resist greed and lust, directing our passions and our appetites to higher things. I can't help it if I just create conflict everywhere I go. Blessed are the peacemakers, those who seek good relationships and don't insist on being right or getting their own way. Look, I can be a Christian in church, but outside, if I speak up, they're going to think I'm a fanatic. I don't want them to laugh at me. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, who don't check out or back down. And there's consequences to what we believe. What Jesus gives us is really a different way to live. And doing these things can make a bigger difference in our life than any vacation or anything else you can imagine. Because this is true. This is directly from God Himself. Blessed are they. So pick one. Which one of these do you think most apply to you? Or even better question, which one of these do you think God would highlight? Becoming dependent, brokenhearted about the suffering in the world, strength under control, spending our energy doing the good we can do, directing our passions to higher things. Pick one. I like the way that the video ended. How many of us ever say something like this to God? Hey, are you even listening? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Actually, the better question is God asking us the same thing. Are you listening?